The Burt Show.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing okay.
Let's talk about this first date and the detail that you found out afterwards that makes you a little reluctant to call her back.
I went out with a girl over the weekend that is a friend of a friend, and we had a great time. At the end of the night, we ended up making out. And I thought it was really good. And then the next day, I get an email from her. I'm not joking. She writes that she had a great time, too. But since we kissed, she thought she should be upfront and honest with me about who she actually was. And then she wrote, I'm not joking, that she's a witch.
What?
And she thought she had to tell me and get it off her chest because of she would never hurt anybody. It's not like she's evil or anything like that, but she's a witch and she does the whole thing. She casts spells and cleansing and scrying, which I had no idea what that even was, and
what
I had to look
that?
It up, and it's when you look into a crystal ball or something, you know?
Scrying is the name of that?
Scrying.
Okay.
Scrying.
So she goes on and on and on about how she's a witch in this email, and she understands if I'm not interested in calling her back because of the misconceptions, but she wanted to let me know up front since we did make out, and she thought she'd like to see me again. So I'm freaking out. I don't know. I haven't called her back since yet. I don't know whether this is crazy, whether I'm overreacting, or I don't know. Has anybody gotten
did you
mixed
ask
up
her
with a witch? I have no idea.
Did you ask her if she's a good witch or the bad witch?
She writes that she's a good witch in the email. She writes that, you know, she was raised Christian, and even though the Bible says it's magic or witchcraft is evil, she's not. She would never hurt anybody or anything.
We need to hear from some witches.
Some from the Wiccan community, because I have no idea.
They take this very, very seriously, and they're always eager to, like, put credibility on their whole, I don't even want to call it a lifestyle. But there is a big misconception of what, like, witches and Wiccan and all that is,
mm-hmm.
and they're always eager to set the record straight.
Is it considered a religion?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a religion. I mean, she writes that she was raised Christian, and she still is Christian, so I don't know if witchcraft is necessarily a religion or not. I don't know.
What if she were a Scientologist? What would be weirder?
The Scientologist might be a little strange.
Yeah, which would scare you more? Which would freak you out more? It's just such a world that most people stay away from because I think, you know, Hollywood has made witches. You got your black hat on.
Right. Halloweenish. And
you got your broom.
Alyssa Milano was a witch in Charmed, right?
That's a TV show.
She was a hot witch.
But I mean, it's like you said, I mean, Christianity's made it like this evil thing, but is it really evil?
It really all depends on how hot she is anyway, because she can tell you anything. And if she's hot enough, if she's Alyssa Milano and she's saying she's a witch, you're like, no words.
We can get around that.
Totally. Good morning.
I don't want to come home one day with my buddies or something and she's in the living room casting spells. How do I explain that? Like, what? I have no idea.
She's just hanging out with her coven. Don't worry about it.
I'd like to have a friend who could cast spells. I think that would be convenient.
On your behalf?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Debbie, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show.
Hey, I feel really bad for the guy, especially if he liked her. But, you know, that's a good line to use if you want to get rid of somebody. I may start using that.
Oh.
It might not be true at all. Good morning, Q100. Hi.
Hi.
Ryan here is a little freaked out because he made out with a witch, and he's not real sure that's safe territory.
It's absolutely safe. Like you said, you know, it depends on, I guess, how hot she is anyway, huh?
And you know that it's safe because...
Well, I am a Wiccan priest.
Wow.
And to answer your earlier question, Wicca is definitely a religion. What are his concerns?
She's a witch, man.
Well, I mean, I think the reputation of being a witch is somebody who, you know, is either evil or casts spells or you don't know what to expect. And so, I mean, what... Clear some of these rumors.
I think my first concern would be if things go wrong, can she put, like, a needle into a rag doll and have his eye fall out?
That's voodoo.
That's voodoo.
That's completely different religion altogether.
Duh.
I think mainly the misconception with witchcraft is that witchcraft is evil. And as far as Atlanta is concerned, the witches in Atlanta really don't believe in doing evil and casting spells on someone else. And
could you, though, if you wanted to? Like, if you had one bad witch apple in the Atlanta community?
I really don't think so. I mean,
so what,
magic really doesn't work that way.
If he was dating a witch, what would be different in that relationship than if he was just, like you said, dating a Christian girl or something like that?
Well, that's a good question, Jeff. You get the good question now.
You won the good question from the Wiccan priest.
Okay, I would like as my prize the ability to levitate.
Well, you'll have to talk to David Blaine for that, I believe.
Well, what do witches do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, do you guys go to church? I mean, who do you pray to? Do you pray to anybody?
It like you fly.
That's another misconception is that I think most Christians go to church on Sunday and or on Wednesday, but Wiccans pretty much live their life on a daily basis in church because Wiccans celebrate the universe and nature. So every day that we wake up, we are in our church. So
it's more to a nature-based religion.
Well, it is absolutely a nature-based religion. We follow the cycles of nature, and it really helps us balance out our lives and live our lives on a daily basis.
Is Wiccan blended with astrology at any point?
Well, we do read and use astrology to help us, but I wouldn't say that it's blended with. It's just another observance, that thing that we pay attention to, sure.
Were you at one point like Christian and then decided to go the Wiccan route?
Sure. I was born and raised Catholic, reading the Bible and different things. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me, and a lot of unanswered questions and things like that. So I'm not trying to put Christianity down here, but
just not your thing.
Just a different personal choice for you.
Sure, sure.
Does the Wiccan community, like if he dates a witch or someone in the Wiccan community, do they look down upon non-Wiccans?
They shouldn't. Much like any minority or anything like that. I mean, if you don't really like to be judged or looked down upon.
Is it safe to assume that because she admitted this to him that she's a witch, that she somehow, like, she looked into the future and saw them having a future together, so that's why she confessed it?
Well, that's something that she would have to ask. I think she probably confessed it because there is such a misconception, and if she happens to like this guy, for him to find out later, it might freak him out like he is freaking out right now. So
rather find out initially.
I still think it's a little early on the first date, or right after the first date, to send that to him.
That one's pretty major,
I mean,
though.
It seems like two or three dates go by, then maybe you break the ice with that and say whatever.
Well, I've heard y'all talk about telling people that you have children and or whatever the case may be, you know, full disclosure. I think it's only fair to say something right away. I mean, I don't know that if I was Christian, I would tell someone on the first date, hey, I'm Christian, you know. Careful.
Depending on how involved you are in your religion, because in every religion, there's people that are really involved and some that just dabble. And so, obviously, to her, she is very into her religion, and so she'd do that. Because I've known people who, they're very extreme into Christianity and don't drink or don't want to have sex, or, you know, that they would say that to somebody that they started dating.
Hey, hi, priest. Shelley here is part of the Wiccan community also, and she thinks you're misrepresenting the community.
Uh-oh.
Shelley, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, Bert Show. How are you?
Good. How are you? You have a problem with what's being said about the Wiccan community?
A lot of times when people talk about Wicca, the first thing that's out of their mouth is that it's a nature-based religion. There's a very, very active Wiccan community in Atlanta with three or four covens that work in the community and things like that. Most Wiccans celebrate holidays, which are called Sabbats, and they also celebrate these things called Esbats. They do live it every day, but they do have holidays and things like that that they celebrate. So depending on how active she is in the Wiccan community, there would be holidays and things like that that she would be celebrating. You know, and if they were to get serious, there would be things that he would see and get involved with because she would be involved. Does that make sense?
Like what?
We have a Sabbat coming up close to May 1st called Beltane. Beltane generally celebrates fertility and life and the coming back of the sun. And these Sabbats, which are what the holidays are called, are based around the seasons and the types of things that would happen in nature, but not necessarily the worship of nature. Does that make sense?
Not really, but that's okay. Shelley, if he isn't into the whole Wiccan community, will she continue to date him, or do you have to be part of that community?
I would imagine it's difficult, you know, dating somebody if you don't have any of the same religious beliefs. Most Wiccans worship a god and a goddess figure, and sometimes that can drag down into more polytheistic beliefs where they'll worship multiple goddesses and multiple gods. So if he's Christian or comes from a Christian background, I imagine it would be very different than what it is that he's used to. So
there's no harm in him test driving this for a little while.
No, definitely not. And the most important thing to remember about people that really do believe in Wicca and actively practice Wicca is that their main law is in ye harm none, do what ye will. So if she is a Wiccan, that she's not, you know, going to be sacrificing cats and stuff like that.
Hmm. There you go, Ryan. So, I mean, it's not like what we were, you know.
It's not like Hollywood.
Right. It's not Hollywood stuff.
Okay, so there's no chance that I'm going to get hurt in any way, and you don't think that I would need to convert or something like that if I date the girl, right?
No, definitely not. And she should, you should be able to ask any of these questions that you have with her, and she should be able to answer them. She shouldn't harm you or do anything weird like that. Most Wiccans are pretty normal people.
Which is neat.
It might be kind of fascinating conversation for the second and third date.
Totally. Yeah. You meet so many of the same people that all seem to have the same story. It'd be cool to sit down with a Wiccan and go, all right, you talk.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you obviously are interested enough in her that you're concerned about it. Mm-hmm. So I would say keep dating her.
You know, I think I'm actually kind of relieved by the last two folks have called. Good. So I think I will call her back and say, hey, let's go on another date and see how it goes.
And
if it goes crazy, I'll give you guys a call and let you know what happens.
Good, man, go get yourself some Wiccan booty. All right, Ryan, thanks for calling.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
The Bird Show.
Meg wants to be part of The Bird Show.
Okay. So I've been with my boyfriend, Brian, for about a year and a half. We're really close. He's always over my house. We basically live together. We're actually talking about moving in together. But the thing is, I've never met his parents. They live in Colorado, and he hasn't seen his parents in 2 years. I want to scratch off a couple of weeks ago. I won $2,000.
Nice.
Birthday's coming up. So what I did was I called his mom. I got his mom's number, and I called her. I'm like, hey, I'm Brian's girlfriend. And I thought it would be nice to fly you, your husband, and Brian's brother down to Atlanta and put them up for a hotel.
That's an awesome gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was like, okay, that's really nice. Let me talk to my husband about it, and I'll give you a call back. So yesterday, she left me a voicemail saying she was in an awkward situation. She didn't know who I was. She never heard of my name.
Oh, no.
And she's like, I'm not even sure that you're in this relationship like you say you are.
So how long y'all been going out?
For a year and a half.
Okay, I must have had a little ADD moment there. I must have missed something in the beginning. You have never had any communication with her before, or you have had communication with her?
Has not.
Has not. And
never.
And the boyfriend has not told Mama about the girlfriend of a year and a half.
For a year and a half.
Well, has boyfriend talked to Mama in a year and a half?
Yeah, they're really close. They talk all the time.
They just don't visit because they're all broke.
Right.
Oh, no. Wow.
So he says, you know, I don't know.
Whoa. That'd be kind of a deal breaker.
So now here's
what to do. Should I call the mom back and be like, so does he have another girlfriend in Colorado?
He wouldn't have a girlfriend in Colorado if he's been living here for 18 months and never goes back there.
Hey, Meg, hold on one sec for me, okay? Yeah. Y'all, seriously, I think I had an ADD moment in the first 60 seconds of that conversation. Wow. What did I miss?
Okay, they've been going out together for a year and a half. He basically lives at her house. She's never met his parents because they live in Colorado. He lives here. He doesn't go back to visit because he's broke, right?
Yeah. Okay.
She wins a scratch-off ticket for $2,000. And as a nice thing for him, she calls the parents behind his back and says, I want to fly you out, put you up in Atlanta for a weekend, take care of your airfare and hotel because I'd love to meet you and I know that he'd love to see you. The mom is like, let me check with my husband and get back to you. And it was kind of awkward. Calls her back the next day later and says, I didn't know who you were. Sorry for the awkward pause, but I have never heard of you before.
Okay.
So now the question is, how does she proceed? Because she can't confront her boyfriend because it screws up the surprise. And then you call back mom. What do you say? Like, because there's obviously a reason he hasn't told mom about her. So
isn't surprise out the window at this point?
I guess. I would think the surprise part is out the window.
Why do you think?
Well, there's a bigger problem here.
Go to him and say, dude, I was trying to surprise you and do this nice thing for you.
And you haven't even acknowledged me to your parents in a year and a half.
Your parents don't know who I am?
and you said he's really close with this. I am just like, I don't even know how to process this. So strange.
She's confused too.
Right, and I'm trying to process it too. Like,
is there a compelling reason why he wouldn't tell his parents about you? Are you a mixed race couple? Are you different religions?
No, I am half black.
And he's white?
Yeah.
Would that be an issue?
Do you think that that would be an issue?
I didn't think so.
And we're not saying it is. I mean, but I see where Jen's coming from. Is there, you know, what is the reason he hasn't acknowledged you? Do you think that his parents maybe give him pressure, and maybe if he acknowledged he had a girlfriend, then there'd be more pressure from them that you need to go ahead and get married?
I don't know. I mean, they know that he doesn't have any money.
Well, my thing is, I would need to know where I stand with him. You know, is the reason you haven't told your parents about me is because you don't acknowledge me as a serious girlfriend, or is it because of my race? Is it because of, you know, I would need to know that.
So your advice then is forget about the surprise, go right to the boyfriend and go, look, this is what's been happening behind the scenes. Because everything you've done is honest up to this point.
Yes.
And good hearted. So you're saying go right to the boyfriend at this point and go, look, this is what I was trying to do, and now we've got problems.
Right or wrong, my $2,000 I'm not spending on you right now because you can't even acknowledge me to your parents after a year and a half, then we need to reevaluate our relationship.
Hey, Robert, good morning. You're on Q100.
One way that I would think that she could determine where she stands in the relationship, go to the boyfriend and say, hey, look, why don't we use this money to go meet your parents and see how he reacts?
That's a good point.
If he kind of is like real kind of hesitant or resentful toward it, then maybe he's trying to hide her from it.
That is under
but
the
if he says,
right,
okay, yeah, let's go. I mean, she's already talked to the parents. How does she, I mean, because you don't want to put his parents in a situation where you're like, okay, keep this lie from your son that we ever talked.
I don't know, y'all. I think all the games are out the window at this point. Like, what does she have to lose by just going straight to him?
Yeah, because I feel like he's going to manipulate the situation if I approach him like that.
She needs to talk to him. I had to figure that out.
Because there's also the mom calling him factor into the whole thing. Like,
I'm a little
care of it today, now.
When did this call take place to mom?
I called her a couple of days ago. She called me back yesterday.
Okay.
I am surprised that she hasn't been on the phone with your boyfriend. Well, I guess she couldn't because it was because you were trying to plan
a surprise.
Okay. Good morning, Krista. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hey, I'm not trying to be cynical here, but the first mistake was in doling out a $2,000 gift to someone that you have no commitment from. And if he has not introduced you to his parents or has not even mentioned you, that in itself is a clue, regardless of your race. He's ashamed of something. So I really think you cross the line in calling the mother and presenting them with this gift.
No, I don't think so.
Here, he has his reasons. And that should tell you everything you need to know. You don't need to talk to the mother at this point because...
Well, she didn't know.
He has not been man enough to tell your parents about you.
Agreed.
It's not about the parents. You need to look at his actions.
Agreed. But, Krista, you see the timing of this whole thing, though, right, Krista? Like, she didn't know that she was a secret until she was trying to plan this surprise for
him. 2 days
ago.
Right, she didn't know.
But she did know she was a secret because she has never had a conversation with his parents in a year and a half. That says a lot. I'm sorry. It's not about meeting her physically. The mother has no knowledge of her whatsoever. And I think she's found out everything she needs to know. I mean, she went behind his back and did all this. Now the truth is going to come out. So in hindsight, yes, it worked out for her because I think she's found out what kind of person she's been with for the past year and a half.
I think that she's putting some blame on you, and I think going behind his back, I think, is harsh language for
trying to do a
surprise.
It's not going behind your back. It's buying him a gift that you didn't want him to know about. That's not going behind his back.
But I do, yeah. Now, what? How? But just to follow through with what she was saying, I think her blame on you or your responsibility is the fact that in a year and a half, you've never had a conversation with the parents. Has that ever crossed your mind as odd?
Well, when he gets off the phone with his mom, he would lie and be like, my mom said hi to tell you I said hi or whatever. Like,
oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big problem.
He's covering something
I think he's embarrassed to talk to them about race.
Hey, Keisha thinks so too, I think. Hey, Keisha.
Yes, I'm totally with Jen. I think we're beating around the bush and missing the elephant in the room. It's because she's half black, and I have a couple of friends where they thought their parents would be cool and their parents were cool with black friends, but the minute they brought home a girlfriend that was half black or black, things just went berserk. His parents even said, what's wrong with you? So this is the situation. I'm sure he loves her, cares about her, but he's afraid of how his parents will react. I don't think he's not committed. He's at her house every day. He loves this girl. He's afraid mom and dad will be like, who's this?
Yeah, I've relayed this message too many times, this story too many times on the show before, but that's the exact same thing that happened with my mom, Myra, is that she raised me to be very open-minded, and we're all one. And then I brought Chandra home, who's black, and my mom cornered me and said, I just want you to be aware of what you're doing. You're about to change our bloodline forever. And she didn't want me to date a black girl. So it was cool, so long as it wasn't in our apartment. Right.
Change our bloodline forever.
Can you believe the word?
But I mean, no, I think a lot of
people. You say it like Myra, Melissa.
I can't.
I can't even do Myra anymore.
I can't. But yeah.
Did she write a haiku about that?
Look, Meg, I don't think that you can assume that that's the reason. I think you got to go right to him at this point.
Yeah. I think you can.
I mean, you can't like break up with a guy over assuming.
No, I mean, she's going to talk to him about it, but I think she can assume going into the conversation, it's exactly why his parents don't know about her.
That's crazy.
Well, I think that
I know it sounds crazy, but I still think that.
So what's the question? Is the question, did she sit down with him and go, do your parents know about me?
My thing is, I would tell him the story. Why not tell him what happened? This is exactly what happened, mm-hmm. and I'm shocked, and I want to know, why have you lied to me? Why have you lied to your parents about me? And then just have him answer the question.
Is there anything he can say that would make it all right?
If he's honest about the race issue, would that make it all right? Like he says,
I don't know.
If he says, my parents...
pull something out of his tail and, you know...
What if he says, I don't know how open my parents would be to me being in a relationship with you? Like, what if he's honest about that and says, and so I've been hesitant to tell him about this, so maybe we can tackle it together.
I just think he should have told me a long time ago.
No, I think this is all on him.
Yeah.
I think I would be so hurt and mad.
I'm not blaming him as much as you guys are.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know. I mean,
be honest with her about it then.
But we're assuming that. We don't even know. You
got to
have
the
conversation with your first thing.
If it's the race
issue.
Much
like earlier this morning, is you got to have a tough conversation with the person that's close to you.
Yeah.
If it's one of those things, like if it's the race issue that is bothering him because he thinks his parents are going to be affected by it, at what point is the appropriate time to bring that up? And when you realize that it's probably the appropriate time was 3 months ago. So what ends up happening is now you're like, oh, my God, I should have told her 3 months ago and blah, blah, blah. Now she's asking how my mom's doing and all this other stuff.
But it's not fair to her. It's not fair to her. Like, it's the same with me dating somebody who's in the closet. I need to know that you are not acknowledging me to your parents. I need to know that I'm in that situation, mm-hmm. and I can make a choice whether I want to stay in this situation
right.
or not. So if you have any black genes in your body and somebody is telling you whether you're half black or all black or whatever and says, you know what, my parents have a problem with any part of that, she needs to know that.
But he might not know if his parents have a problem with it. Like, that might be why.
I think it'd be motivation.
But you just don't know that yet. So the first step is having the conversation with him about it. Hey, Megan, will you call us back after you decide what you're going to do, if you're going to confront him or not?
Yes.
Okay. Give us an update and let us know why he hasn't told his mom about you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Poor thing. She's trying to
be
something sweet.
Bye-bye.
The Bert Show.
And I don't even know what the question is to ask you guys to call up for. Maybe it's just like this open conversation about it. But I'm sure some of you guys have stories when you realized your kids knew more about sex than you thought that they knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like your 9-year-old comes home and says something that you're like, how did you even know about that? These are going to shock you. I mean, these are 12-year-olds we're talking about here. 12 years old. And as I said before, as a parent of a 6-year-old, you know, I don't always think about it, but I'm certainly present to wondering when I'm supposed to have that talk with Hayden and how it's going to be awkward no matter what, but it's going to have to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that it's going to have to be before 12 years old, according to these stats. Okay, you ready for these?
You got to record that.
What's that?
The conversation with Hayden for the air.
God.
Oh.
According to a new study by the University of Texas, their School of Public Health, 12% of 12-year-olds, meaning kids in 6th and 7th grade, have had sex already. 12%. 12 years old.
Now, they study kids outside of Texas, too, because that's its own special land.
Yeah, I think that's in the country.
Because guess what? By 10, they've got fake boobs and big blonde hair.
I mean, 12%, you want to go, 12%. That's one in every 10 of you that are listening that has a 12-year-old. And you think, you know what? I don't need to have that conversation with them. They're already having sex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nearly 8% of 12-year-olds have engaged in, I'll just say it, oral. 8% of 12-year-olds. 12-year-old on a 12-year-old. 8%. 6.5% of 12-year-olds. And again, I mean, 6.5%, you're like, that's not bad. Well, that means one of your kids listening right now has done this.
Mm-hmm.
Or nearly 1 in 15 have engaged in...
Backdoor.
Backdoor. 1 in 15 12-year-olds are knocking on the back door.
And here's the thing is like, you know, because a lot of people may not think it's their kid. Okay, well, let's say it's not your kid, but there's a kid at school that has. And there's a kid at school that's talking about it. The first time I ever heard about anything and what anything is and how anything's done and drawings or whatever was in school, not from my parents.
I think what's so sad is they're not allowed to be kids. Like, 12-year-olds should still be a kid.
Right.
They want to run around and play and be goofy and be a kid.
Because
it's so sad that they're having to deal with such adult things so young.
Yeah, this is
stealing their childhood.
The back door is no game. That is no game. 1 in 15.
Say that.
12-year-olds. Overall, 1 in 3 sexually active middle school students have had unprotected sex in the past 90 days. 1 in 4 have been with 4 or more partners.
Oh. What?
25% 12-year-olds that are engaging in sex. If they've done it with one, they've done it with more than that.
I believe that because at age 12, you don't have the capacity to process what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a fun...
You keep trying.
Yeah, it's a fun thing
people.
To do. It's the equivalent of a candy bar. Oh, that's really good. I'm going to do it again.
Melissa can go younger than that on you.
Oh, my God.
Listen to this.
I just read this maybe 5 minutes ago where there was a survey that took place in the United Kingdom, and they found that 1 in 3 girls, all girls, between the ages of 6 and 10, 6 and 10, so this is younger than the 12, admit that they have looked at porn sites.
That's Hayden.
6
That's
and
me.
10.
That's me thinking Hayden is doing his math upstairs, and I open up his door, and there he is on his computer looking at porn at 6 years
six
old.
Years old.
Wow.
1 in 3. 1 in 3 girls.
What?
And that's going to warp their perceptions of everything.
Yeah. That's
I mean,
not where you
their
need
body
to learn.
Image, their... Ugh.
Don't grow up too fast. You hear that? I heard that when I was young, and I thought, oh, shut up. But, I mean, the thing is, all this complicates your life, and so...
But
yeah,
I think when we were growing up, they said, don't grow up too fast when we were like 16,
exactly.
and 17, and 18.
And we're telling a 6-year-old that.
Now we're talking about 10 and 12-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
John, good morning. You're on Q100. Hi.
I first had sex when I was 12, because that's when I started doing, like, drinking and smoking cigarettes and doing everything.
So that means you were a 6th grader?
In 7th grade, yeah.
Seventh grade. Who did you have sex with?
Another girl in my class. I used to have my mom take me to school early. Everybody used to hang out, so we went to the auditorium of the school.
If you could look back on what in your life could have kept you from doing that, what would it have been?
When I was younger, growing up, my babysitter used to watch all kinds of different kinds of porn around, like, all the kids she was babysitting. We never really thought about it.
And how old was she?
Late 30s, early 40s.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
You wanted that argument to say no teenage babysitter.
I did, because I have a strict no teen babysitting policy in
our house. So he was exposed to porn early.
You just moved Hayden's babysitters up to 50.
I know, right? Linda, good morning.
I have been driving a school bus for 14 years, and I can tell you 10 years ago I had my middle school kids talking about going to Six Flags and having oral sex on the roller coasters. I've had kids get suspended from school because they've been caught in the middle school bathrooms having sex.
Why do you think it's younger now than it used to be? Because of their exposure to things, or is it that whole, like, there's hormones in the milk thing?
It's not like when we were younger. They see it when they play video games. They see it when they watch TV. They're totally doing it. I'm not surprised at all.
I don't think parenting is good now as it was years ago. It's not as strict, and people aren't paying attention. You didn't have as many things to look over your shoulders, kids, for years ago. Now you got to be on top of everything. Computers, cell phones, movies.
Internet access on your mobile phone.
It's like we avoid any kind of conversation that's going to be uncomfortable. I mean, you can listen to the show any given day, any given hour, and you can hear how these people call up. They know the advice to give themselves, and that's to talk to your best friend, talk to your mother because you're having a problem with her or your father, but nobody wants to have the awkward conversation. And in this case, parents don't want to have the awkward conversation with their kids, and the result is they're having sex at 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Melody.
I am a school bus driver for Fulton County, mm-hmm. and I have actually had 12-year-old sixth graders have sex on the bus, and I had to pull over and have the local police come and remove those children.
How did you know?
There was children standing up in the back of the bus, and I kept asking the children to sit down. They would not sit down, and they were laughing. A lot of the kids were like, oh, my God, look what they're doing. And I could not see, so when I pulled over, the girl was getting off of the boy. She was sitting on top of the boy, and they were actually in the act of having sex.
Oh.
Nicole is a seventh grader. Hey, Nicole, do these statistics seem a little bit crazy to you?
Not at all.
Really? And what grade are you in?
I'm in seventh. When I was in sixth grade last year, there were two eighth graders who were pregnant, and they had to leave. And then there was three seventh graders who were pregnant.
And seventh grade puts you at what age?
That's 12.
13 and 12.
And does it seem like when you look at your group of friends, does it seem like more of them are having sex or less of them are having sex?
Well, I don't really hang out with the people who are having sex because I don't want to be influenced by that.
About what percentage would you say of your class is having sex?
Probably two-thirds, a half, a little below a half. It's astonishing like how much you wouldn't think.
Are they mostly having sex with people their own age, or is it older kids?
They'll be doing it with, like, people in eighth grade, and then some people are doing it with high schoolers.
Damn.
High schoolers.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your honesty.
Yeah. I was hoping she was going to call up and go, no. I don't know anybody like that. No.
I am curious, though, when she said, I don't want to be influenced like by that, I wanted to ask her conversation with her parents.
Yeah, like, what did they say?
Because, obviously, that was a conversation she had with her parents to feel that way.
We've talked about this 100 times on The Burt Show about when you're a teenager, the most important thing in the world is to be accepted by your friends and mm-hmm. to feel cool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if that's what your group is doing, whatever your kids' friends are doing, mm-hmm. that's what your kids are doing too.
Right.
You know, if they're hanging out with people that are having sex, they're having sex. If they're hanging out with people that are doing drugs, they're doing drugs.
At 12, yes. You're not going to be the holdout.
No. You want to be cool. You want to be accepted. Mm-hmm. And that's like number one important thing when you're that age because you're just so awkward and you want to belong.
You know, I look at this, my child who's almost 7 years old now, and he seems to me to be like this slice of innocence.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine sitting down with him and having that talk at 7 years old, but I guess that's what you want to do. Yeah. If your alarm just went off at 6:30 this morning, the reason why we were talking about that for the last 10 minutes, there's shocking stats coming out. According to a new study coming out of University of Texas, 12% of 12-year-olds, kids in the 6th and 7th grade, 12%, have confessed to having sex. 8% of 12-year-olds have engaged in oral. 1 in 15 have engaged in the back door already. 12 years old, y'all. 1 in 3 sexually active middle school students have had unprotected sex in the last 3 months. 1 in 4 have been with 4 or more partners by 12 years old. And then there was the Melissa statistic today.
Yeah, this came out of United Kingdom talking about 1 in 3 girls ages 6 to 10 admitted to already looking at porn sites online. 1 in 3 girls ages 6 to 10.
So when is the appropriate time to have the talk with your kids? It's before 12.
Now.
It's before 12.
Hey, The Burt Show.